And then as our children begin to grow, we reach those pre-adolescent years, and we arrive at the time for the first heart-to-heart talks. For the mother now, her daughter will menstruate, the first girl in a class will menstruate at age 9. And surely the first one in her little gang of girls will menstruate by 10. So take your daughter aside by age 9, or at the very latest by age 10, and give her a very brief, sketchy outline of menstruation. Maybe she's just straight up and down, but you want to get 2 points across to her. This is a normal process that occurs to all women, and mother knows about it. So you can come to me and ask me questions. Then when she's beginning to develop herself a little further along, talk to her again. Give her more detail on what the menstruation is. The emphasis is on it's normal. We'll talk about it, sure, where the sanitary belts and Kotex and so are, and give her this feeling of a personal bond of woman-to-woman talk. Now, when you've told her what you want her to know, you might give her a little booklet to read, such as World of a Girl or It's Great to Be Growing Up. Now, these books are not in place of what you tell her. They are in addition to what you tell her.
Now, the pre-adolescent boy is talked to by his father, or should be. Again, in our culture, mother has done most of this, and we think that this is rather unfortunate. After all, this is the story of manhood, and mother really can't tell it as well. If she's a widow or living without a husband, that's another story. But if there's a daddy in the house, or Uncle John next door, then ideally, this is a man-to-man talk, the first man-to-man talk. And here again, the boy, 2 years later than his sister, dad takes him aside, and we talk about the changes in the boy's body. You enumerate what's going on. His penis is lengthening, his scrotal sac. He'll be having erections, and now the story of the wet dream. Now, tell it in any way you want, and if you don't know the technical words, that doesn't make any difference. You're telling him what you know this to be. And you simply tell him the wet dream is normal. He will be having it. This is the seed that he's known about, and that is he is not married, and therefore this is an overflow of the excess seed. And that's all there is to it. And what of masturbation? This is something highly charged with individual opinions and religious pros and cons. It's something we've terribly messed up in the past. And we would tell each of you now to teach your own moral code on this, by all means. But let's, for heaven's sakes, not teach an overabundance of guilt. If we teach a lad that he'll go insane or be impotent because he masturbates, and then he masturbates, and he's still not impotent, then he knows we've lied. And so he disregards everything else we've told him. We can teach a code of right or wrong, if we so believe on this, without setting too impossible a goal of perfection. We have to remember that almost universally teenage boys will masturbate, at times or frequently. And if we tell them it is absolutely wrong and you're worthless if you do, then we crush this lad when he fails. Give him a goal if you wish, by all means. Don't speak in terms of you will be, but say many boys do this, or even most boys do this, but what we try to do is save this. This is important. The immature lad does this. The boy who has a certain amount of self-pity. And when you're grown and a real man, then you'll be able better to control this and save this valuable part of you for your wife and so forth. Give him a definite goal if you see such. Teach your moral code, but don't overload it. Okay, here's a good book, A Boy Today, A Man Tomorrow, to help dad prepare to do the job that he should do for his boy. Now, these were the heart-to-heart talks. Okay, originally then, it's asked and answered in a group. Pre-adolescent, it's mother-daughter, father-son in the heart-to-heart talk, or one or two or three of these. But now our children go beyond that into the years when they date and they relate to the opposite sex. And now they are young adults. And now who talks? Whoever is asked. Now it's son to either mother or dad. It's daughter to either mother or dad. Whoever this child now can relate to and come to, this is the one, and we do hope they'll be coming to us yet, because now they have really important questions.
For example, maybe you want your dating children to understand how the difference of reaction between boys and girls would be. Tell your daughter very simply, honey, for most women, it's nice to be cuddled and hugged and loved, but not too much of this for most boys can be a plain sexual arousal. Remember that you're tuned different. And for you, if the more you cuddle and snuggle, maybe he thinks this is encouragement for him. Understand what the differences are and let them know that each one bears a real responsibility toward the person who they go out with if they really love them and want the best for them.
And don't hesitate for a minute as a dad to talk to your daughter. You know, if dad would mean to tell his daughter that he thinks that she should wait till marriage for sex and be convinced of this, how would she find out? Well, she'd read it in books. She might find it out from church, from school. And these have their value, and they're good enough for most. But think of the impact if dad would take his daughter aside and tell her that he thinks it's wise for her to wait, that your mother and I believe sincerely that you will be happier in your marriage if you wait. And give the reasons, not just the moral reasons, although these are important for you or you, but the psychological reasons of happiness later on. He who strays around before marriage is the one who finds it easier to play around outside of marriage. This business of experience and learning is not necessarily a good precursor toward marriage, because this is an act of love between just you two. And how anybody else does it, or how you did it with someone else, doesn't relate. It's how you two, in your lifetime, learned to blend your bodies totally, your minds and hearts, in this action of saying, I love you. But dad talk to daughter has an impact, I'm sure, five times as great as a clergyman saying the same thing.